Hi, this is David Orlovsky, and welcome to the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. And whether you're watching with our friends over at Torah Anytime, or wherever you watch or listen to your podcast, as always, it's exciting to have you along for the experience. And we have a live studio audience this week. They're a little slow on the uptake, but we work with what we got. So if you live in Eretz Yisrael or you're planning a trip to Eretz Yisrael and you'd like to be part of the Rabbi Orlovsky audience, please contact me at the website, rabbiorlovsky.com, and say, I'd like to be part of the studio audience, and we will let you participate in the exciting live experience. And our sponsor for this episode is the Chicago Chesed Fund. And they have been a regular sponsor of ours for the many years that we've been doing this. So I'm reading you their text. We all know singles who've been struggling in the shidduch world. Maybe that single is you. One second. Wait. You. Good. As a community bound together by Torah values, we would do anything to help ourselves and each other through what can be a very difficult parsha. Trust me, I have 8 daughters. It is a very difficult parsha. What if I told you there was a powerful way to do that? All you need is the right schus. And that brings us to one of our favorite sponsors, Shas for Shidduchim at Shas, the number 4, shidduchim.org. It's on your screen. It's a national initiative of Chicago Chesed that gives singles, along with their friends or family members, an impactful way to generate shidduchim. For the 7th year in a row now, Chicago Chesed has gathered hundreds of lomdim to complete all of Shas in 24 hours. Specifically as a schus for Klal Yisrael singles. In the words of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, there is no skula like Limud Torah, and in the schus of Limud Torah and Tfilis, Hashem should send everyone their zivugim. So please go to shasforshidduchim.org to sponsor a daf on behalf of yourself or up to 5 singles you know, so you can help harness the immense power of Tu B'Shvat, Staka, and Limud HaTorah in their schus. Use code Orlovsky to submit an extra name for free. And if you don't have an extra name, write me, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I unfortunately know many people. All proceeds go directly to support Chesed Chicago's many related services that facilitate Shidduchim year-round, including consistent proactive outreach to their extensive Shadchanim network on behalf of singles, shidduch events and coaching, shaitels, wedding gowns for new callers and their families who obviously can't afford it, and more. Secure your schus at shasforshidduchim.org, code Orlovsky. This is such an important thing, and anything that we can do to help this is a tremendous mitzvah for Klal Yisrael, and it's chus for you and your family too. So I urge everyone to participate. We just had a 2-part double episode that did tunes for Zemiris. And I mentioned at the time that I really don't know anything about Sephardi Zemiris. I don't. I'm Ashkenazi. Now, the truth is that when I went with Nesivos Tours to Europe, a number of times they took me to different countries around Europe, and one of the places we went was Portugal. And my brother said to me, oh, did you go to check out the family? I know my father came from Węgrów, which is outside of Warsaw in Poland, and you know, what do you mean, Portugal? He says, yes, someone looked into our roots and we originally come from Portugal. We were part of the Da Silva family and they moved to Turkey and from Turkey to Poland. So I'm actually Portuguese. So as you can tell from my thick Portuguese accent. Anyway, this gene has lied dormant in our family for about 500 years. And I am privileged to have on the show with me my nephew, Ezra Orlovsky. Of course, a old Sephardic name, Orlovsky. And he has reconnected with his Sephardic roots. And I asked him to be on the show with us to give us insight into how Sephardim Zemiros work, what are the various tunes, etc. So Ezra, a privilege. Welcome to the Rabbi Orlovsky Show.
The privilege is mine. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. David. Now, just a background for the studio audience. Ezra is the genius of the family. Whereas people like me would go into like history and literature and things like that. He was in
microbiology. Chemistry.
I was going to do that, but it was like so easy. So I would much rather do history. So he, of course, applied himself to his new Sephardic heritage with the same level of enthusiasm. So Ezra, I want to understand how Sephardim approach. I know how Ashkenazim do Zemiros, and you do too, because you were an Ashkenazi for the first part of your life till you did tshuva and returned to your roots. So how does a Sephardi approach Zemiros on Shabbos? I mean, the whole thing has got to be a different experience, right?
Sephardi tunes tend to be kind of monotone for people who don't
chant. They chant.
And you stay with like one sort of scale through the whole song. There's no like low part, high part most of the time.
So it's just sort of like...
That's what it kind of sound like. But once you get into it, you find a lot of nuance and a lot of kind of connection to the actual words.
So it's very subtle.
Yeah, it's subtle music.
All right. So you're going to walk me through now a Sephardic Shabbos, right? You come on from shul. Now, we right away do Shalom Aleichem.
Yeah.
The Sephardim do Shalom Aleichem?
Yeah. I've been using actually a Portuguese tune.
Really?
Yeah.
Small wonder.
Yeah.
How's it go?
Shalom Aleichem Alache Shalom Malache Elyon Melech Malache Amelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom Aleichem.
Oh, it's got a second part.
Yeah. Malache Asharet Malache Elyon Melech Malache Amelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think it was a song about Alexander the Great or something at some point. Yeah.
Beautiful.
A lot of the Sephardi tunes are not like Jewish.
In, really?
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of Jewish ones. There are a lot of Ashkenazi ones also that were taken from non-Jewish.
And you'll have it go both ways. Like people will say that, well, maybe it was the Sephardi Jews or not so Sephardi, but Mizrahi Jews who made the tunes. There's I know a few of those like right. that. Like there's one that goes na 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 na. So that's a Syrian song, Ya'alozu Biya. And it's muvhak, like it's very clearly a Syrian song, and you can search for it, Il Azubiya. It's like a, you know, Arabic like love song. But apparently the Syrian Jews were singing it first, and then one of them wrote a song
to it,
and it like took off.
Wow.
And then he never wrote another song after that because he was upset that he took something kadosh and made it basically kind of Nachlat Arabim, and then he, you know.
So that's the Portuguese Shalom Aleichem. Moroccan, what do I do for Shalom Aleichem?
So I don't know Moroccan Shalom Aleichem, but I know Moroccan Azamir Bishfachin.
So 1 second. Who else has a Shalom Aleichem? This is an amazing thing because with Ashkenazim, whether you come from Poland or you come from Russia or you come from Hungary, not that much of a difference, you know what I mean, in the tunes. But if you're Iraqi or you're Moroccan or you're Persian. I mean, completely different music.
Yeah, well, it depends who you ask. You ask me, it sounds quite different because I've been listening to this music for a while, but people don't seem to, a lot of people don't seem to hear the difference between like a Moroccan song or a Syrian song or Egyptian.
But they do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they
appreciate it. That's like the thing, you know?
So what are the Shalom Aleichem?
I don't know more Shalom Aleichem tunes.
All right.
Yeah, but I do know, like I said, the Azamir B'Shvachim, what I try to do is you find that like these Jews, if you go over to them and start like poking them like, hey, you got a good Friday night song and so on, eventually something will come out, you know? A lot of them, when they're very unassuming, you know, very like quiet, but, oh no, we don't even sing, you know? Oh, really? I'm sure. And then what you have to do is you have to sort of ply them a little bit. Like, how do you do Mishah Zeta Dachya, you know? Like, oh, okay, that one I do have a tune for, you know?
So from Shalom Aleichem, they go to Eishes Chayil?
Yeah.
Where there's something in between.
Yeah. And Eishes Chayil I do Ashkenazi or in English because we've been doing it in English.
Really? Yeah. Is there a Sephardi Eishes Chayil?
I don't know one off the top of my head. Eishes
Chayil in English. I know one. I think it goes like, Eshet Chayim Imza,
That's really good. That's really good.
Now, to be fair, every Sephardic tune I know sounds exactly the same, just like that. It's a whole different experience because when a few times I've done Shabbatunim for Sephardic. Shabbatunim and stuff, and they just chant the whole davening. They just chant everything.
The Chidah says that you're supposed to not make any noise as the audience, just listen to the Chazan, read the whole thing through, or just say it all along with him.
Well, but I've been at a couple like, where they give out like Psukah de Zimra to different people to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do it out loud, and everyone, you know.
Yeah. But it's a part of the whole experience is that you hear everyone read it out loud or the Chazan read everything out loud. And then you get really in touch with the Dikduk, which is a big deal among the Sfaradi.
Yeah.
Like there's this expression that Ben Ish Chai writes that when it says not to make the blocks of the Mizbeach, not to chop the blocks.
Yes.
Don't like lift the iron against it.
Correct.
Okay, so he says that's your tongue and the words. Don't chop the words up.
Wow.
Because you don't know how to like use your tongue properly.
Yeah.
Like you have to make them whole blocks. And it's a very like prevalent idea among the Sfaradim that you have to pay attention to every letter, if there's a degesh or not a degesh, if it's a soft, you know, vet or a hard kaf or all these different things or if there's like a mele'el, mele'ra, like if the accent's at the beginning or the end of the word.
Ashkenazim like to do that during Kriyas HaTorah because it's a group participation event to scream at the person if he mispronounces a word. Right. Not because they care so much about the dikduk, but just because it's fun, you know? Right. And that's why I learned my bar mitzvah haftarah from a tape. I just memorized it from a tape. So for my ufra, if I had someone quickly teach me the trup, so that I could lane. And I had a short period of time to do it. You know, I was really rushing. So just before I got called up for the Haftarah, I went up to the Rav and I pointed about halfway through and I said, here, hand out the candy bags. Because I know people will be too busy to notice when I make a mistake.
Good one. What was your bar mitzvah parsha?
Parsha's bow.
Oh, nice.
It's coming up. V'yoma Hashem el Moshe bo el paro ki ani hichbarati es libo v'es lev avodav leman. You know, like only a bar mitzvah boy can lean like that. Anyone else, they'll beat them to death. But anyway, so I daven in a minyan where they move it along at a healthy pace. In fact, we had a real Baal Tefillah came and he says, what time is Shachris? The Gabbai says, 8:25 till 8:40. The guy burst out laughing. He was laughing for 5 minutes straight. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. But anyway, okay, so then Eishes Chayil. Fine. And then what are the, you have Friday night Zmiras,
Shabbos Day Zmiras. So then we launch into Azamir B'Shvachim, which is like from the Arizal. It's kind of long. Zamir bishvahin me agofit hin divha qatapu hin inu qadishin. This goes on for a while.
It stays exactly the same.
Yeah, like just the same thing over and over and over. And I think part of these kind of things is that you go places in your head. When you use the same tune over and over again, you connect on a certain way with these, with the words and with the what you're doing, to a point where you experience something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people don't have patience for that. But
it's a Friday night experience. You know, it's one of those kind of things. I mean, one of the famous kind of group of Zmirot that is among the Sfaradim is the Bakashot. They have different groups of Sfaradi Jews. I say Sfaradi, but I really mean any like Mizrahi. You have the like main group, the Syrian, what they call Sfarad Yerushalayim.
This tune that you just did.
That's Moroccan.
That's Moroccan.
Yeah. Well, I learned it from a Moroccan family, Marciano. Yeah.
Are there other versions of this Zemmer?
Yeah, there are many. I don't like them though.
How do they go?
I mean,
this is the catchiest you're telling me.
Yeah, this is a good one.
That was the catchy one.
This is my catchy.
What's like a less catchy one?
Well, I have a friend who's Persian. He taught me one. I couldn't. It was like not working for me. So I just left it.
I got you.
I feel okay with, in as much as like I'm a stranger to the whole thing. You know, I grew up Ashkenazi, but I feel okay with just picking and choosing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like this. I don't like this. I'm fine with that. I'm not dogmatic or something about how I approach this.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the first Friday Night Zemmer.
Yeah.
Okay. And then?
So
this is a new world to me. Okay, I don't know anything about Sfaradi Zmiros.
Okay, but I may also not be 100% typical among Sfaradi Zmiros singing people.
I'm sure that the Sfaradi listening audience will write me a bunch of angry emails telling me what I left out. So don't worry about it. Okay.
I will
forward them to you.
Put the disclaimer on. Okay, so what I do typically is I look for the makam of the Shabbat.
Okay, I know what that means.
Okay, what's that? So a makam is like a musical scale. Like, for instance, Husseini. Na, 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 na. You know, that's Husseini. Saba, which was this Shabbat. Na, la, 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 la. It's a little lower. And it has different moods associated with different things. Like, Husseini is like very sublime, very like godly, you know, spiritual, whereas Saba is more like marching. And it sounds like Tzava, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this week, let's say for Vayechi was Saba. Well, not according to everyone. They're like disagreeing.
You mean every Shabbos, they send out a memo like this is the type of a tune that we're going
to
do?
Yeah, well, you have to know that I'm very influenced by Syrian Jews. And Syrian Jews are unique because like you sort of have to be a Syrian in order to like be Syrian. But I spent a lot of time.
They don't accept Gerim, you know.
I don't judge.
I saw one of
all sorts of.
I saw a shul. I was at a shul in Brooklyn, and they have a big sign up there saying.
I think I was there too. Yeah.
We don't come in.
I ain't judging. These are like you know, this is like they're very very scholarly, so I'm not gonna like tread in that. But I lived in Yossi Piamenta, Alav Shalom. I lived in his house for a year, and their roots of their family are from Damascus.
Really?
Yeah. And he basically taught
me. He doesn't look like the average Syrian Jew. He looks more Moroccan, you know.
He was very unique because he was able to pull together a lot of different musical traditions. Like he
played my wedding.
Yeah, nice. Mine too. Sup. So he has Moroccan songs, and his last album, Yihyu LaRatzon, some of the songs are sung by a fellow Biton, good musician from New York, Moroccan. And they did the Aziashir and Tevi emo petita emo. Yeah, it's really good.
Really catchy.
Anyway, yeah. So I learned the like rhythm of Hebrew from him. Uh-huh. He had such a good Hebrew. It was amazing. I could just listen to him just talk. Sichat Chulin was like special. He really put a certain style into just the words. And so there's a website called pizmonim.com. Pizmonim. Like a pizmon means a Hebrew song that was put onto a, like basically an Arabic tune, but it doesn't have to be. It could be other things as well.
So they don't use the term zmirot?
No, not really.
They say pizmonim.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the, on that website, I visit it every week and check it out. Those are mainly Halabi Jews, you know, from Aleppo.
Syria, yeah.
And maybe because I live in the Golan now also, and I'm basically
right there
in the, like, I visit Syrian ruins all the time. Like, right. I go, you know, bathe in the Syrian captain's pools, you know, like I do that. Like,
right.
Maybe that's also part of it, but like, I really like it. It's very, very special music, and every week has its own sound, but for a reason. Like, let's say Saba among the Damascus Jews, not the Halabim, is for Vayechi. And the reason why is because when you have a whole group, like all of Yaakov's kids, when you have a bunch of numbers, or if you have a lot of, let's say the Hayalim in Matot Mas'eh or Pinchas, you do Saba. So I'll typically go through my book and find ones that I like in Makam Saba, and I'll sing them.
Wow.
And my kids like some, well, at least my little daughter does.
So that's the Friday night Zemmer.
Yeah, Friday night is.
Then the next popular one is? Or the next in the row?
Look, I mean, in the there's not like a consensus.
Really?
If you open up the.
If you open up any Ashkenazi bench, you're going to find the same songs Friday night, the same one Shabbos day.
Yeah, you won't find that. You'll find every single Sfaradi Birkon or Zmiron or whatever has in it Bar Yochai, like first one.
Like the Bar Yochai that we do on Lag BaOmer?
Sure.
Bar Yochai.
Yeah, you can do that. That works.
Bar Yochai. La 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 la. I learned the words a long time ago. La 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 la. Bar Yochai. La 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 la.
Da 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 da.
So you sing that every Friday night?
I don't sing it every Friday night because the Syrians, again, they're a big influence on my like musical, whatever I care about. They put it really far into the Bakashot. Like it's like almost at the end of the Bakashot. And like to sort of get there, you got to kind of like work your way up. And a lot of times I fall asleep before I manage to make it all the way there. Unless I'm in that makam, which is like around makam rast. Like,
I lost you.
So what I mean to say is like, I like to work my way up. And because they put it so far into the repertoire.
You're done by then.
By the time I get there, I'm normally like, I don't always hit it. Right. Sometimes I do. And then it's special.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of like breaks. Like they, like for instance, Bar Yochai. Yeah, that kind of a thing. So you like stop and sort of appreciate where you are in
that's
the song.
That's in the regular tune?
Of the Halabim, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Bar Yochai, we got okay, two so far.
So yeah, Bar Yochai is in every single Birkon Sfaradi at like the beginning of the Zmirot, but like I, because I'm who I am, I don't do it at then. Wait. I do at least one or two songs of Avraham Ibn Ezra just because it's like you talk about someone who really like knew how to throw down a Hebrew song.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like the elephant in the room with Jewish music.
Oh, yeah. So for example, which ones do you do?
I do almost every single week. Eretz Virum Bihi Bara'am. Behe Bera'am. Bili'am. Malel. Himse'am. Adon olam tzur nesa'am shavat beyom ha-shabbat. Hi, hi, hi.
And it just keeps going like that.
Oh, yeah. It's every day.
That's true. Which tune?
Abraham ibn Ezra.
No, but what tune is it?
That's Syrian.
Syrian.
I don't know any Moroccan. I'm sure the Moroccans have a tune for that.
Okay.
Sure. But Moroccan song I do also almost every single Friday night is Elecha Ekraya. Elecha Ekraya, El Nora. Elecha Ekraya, El Nora. Tifkod Gefen Sheha Amim Zarua. Amim Zarua.
Oh, this is a famous one. Everyone knows this one.
I learned this from Piamenta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a really good one, and it moves along and so on.
From an Ashkenazi perspective, probably the most tuneful tune that you've sung yet.
Yeah, that's very typical of Moroccan tunes, is that they sound like a song.
Really?
Yeah.
And the Syrians, not so much.
Right. Like take anything that Joe Amar did. That's almost all Moroccan, as far as I can tell. He himself was, right? And there's like, you know, Shalom Leven Dodi Hatzah Veha Admon Shalom Lecha Me'et Rakakimorimon Shalom Leven Dodi, right? It's got a tune.
Right.
But like when I'm by myself, I like to sit. I mean, that's Shlomo Ivan Gvirol wrote that. I mean, also there are certain people that like you see anything by them and it's like, okay, just stop what you're doing and just focus on what they wrote because they were so amazing.
No.
Yeah. So that's him. But I like things that are more subtle,
less tuneful.
Less tuneful. I do. It's just who I am. I like things that are long, drawn out, kind of.
So there's.
Don't really know where you're headed with it.
There's Syrian and there's Moroccan. You know, Persian Iraqi. Ones?
Persian is too tough for me. Sorry.
Really? Why?
They have this like ability to like waver their voice. A certain kind of ability that like I don't know how to do. And I feel like every time I try stepping on a Persian tune, I just sound like I'm like a mashing things up. So I just also Yemenite. I don't do Yemenite because it's too delicate for me.
Really?
Oh yeah. Like you have to really, really feel it. And I don't. So I just leave their, you know, kvodam makom munach, mashnikra, you know, like respect them in their place. And I can't, wow. I don't. I mean, I know some tunes that sort of spilled over from here and there, but I don't as a whole.
And then there's Iraqi tunes.
I love Iraqi tunes.
And Iraqi tunes are monotone.
Yeah, repetitive. Very, very deep most of the time, like low bass, you know, like Ozelecha Eshmora. I could keep going, but you get the point. It's very like low, deep, and they have a lot of songs that to me sound like the most I don't know, maybe victorious military songs, like Yehiyu Chemot.
Well, maybe once upon a time in Iraq, but now not so.
I mean, but it's
it was since Saddam fell.
Yeah, maybe. No, but I spent a lot of time in an Iraqi Beit Knesset when I was in the south. It just, you know, I was looking for a minyan and I just stumbled into a little Beit Knesset with this dome on top with a giant picture of the Ben Ish Chai.
Right.
And it was amazing because like the Rav and his brother's a mechanic of the police, you know? So these are like people with hands, you know what I mean?
Right.
like people with hands I could crush, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they get up like an hour before sunrise and go to the mikveh and sit there with two pairs of tefillin on, covered in talit, read out everything like with dikduk, and they say, wow, you know, like sort of.
Like
very like heavy, very heavy.
Whose tune is that? That one I know from somewhere.
That's like a Ladino.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That I heard in the Beit Knesset in Yerushalayim. Also Piamenta sings it. Adir kevodo chok natan.
Right, that's the one.
Baruch kevodo chok natan. Wehanani bamidbar, bamidbar, bamidbar. Homar mar, wekara zenze. Weamar, ah.
Ah, hey. Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know any Egyptian tunes?
Yeah. Lama
badai. How is there different? How is their songs different than these other ones?
It's very similar to Syrian.
Okay.
They're not as close to. You would think North Africa, so it would be like that, but it's not. But because apparently it has to do with the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
Like the Syrians and the Egyptians and maybe a little bit into, I don't know, Libya or whatever, they were part of the Ottoman Empire, but like Morocco wasn't. They were Berber.
Yeah.
It's a different sound. There was early on the, you know.
I have some guys in my minion who are Bourbons also. So. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to Friday night. So we got two nigunim. What else? What do they sing? What are the bizmonim of Friday night?
So you have definitely something from Avraham Ibn Ezra in there.
So you did one.
Agadilcha is a really famous. Everyone does Agadilcha. Well, I know the tune from Yerushalayim. There's many types, you know.
Go for it.
Agadilcha. Elohe kone shama we odecha birof pahad we emma. Now Piamenta would do this also. He could go, he has versions that are 25 minutes long.
Really?
Oh yeah. Just guitar and crazy stuff going on and you know.
Habibi. I don't see how I could keep that tune going for 25 minutes.
well, if what it's about is about how amazingly brilliant God must be, because like look what he did, like yeah. Look what has, like the world is spinning in nothing. Now if that concept can't take you for a good few minute like just trance, you didn't understand what you just said. The world is spinning in nothing, and they knew that. People are like, oh, people thought the world was flat. Like, no, they didn't.
No, but I
even the Keter Malchut of Shlomo Ibn Gvirol talks about the relative sizes of like the sun to the moon to the earth. He talks about how big the planets are, not just what they're made out of, and like how many times you could expect to see an eclipse of like Jupiter. Like these were like seriously advanced people.
The Arabs were into astronomy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Greeks. I mean, really, it comes from the Greeks. Talmi. It was the Almagest, which, by the way, I want my wife to buy for me. It's 700 something pages, and I want like one that's like, you know, sure. Legit. I don't want
I hate those cheap Greek words.
I want the Almagest. You know, like a coffee table piece. You know.
Yeah.
But the reason why is because of how impressed Chachmei Israel were with him. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me that, you know, he was Greek or something. Like, Rambam says that, like, after he finishes Hilchot HaChodesh, he says, okay, yes, we had from Shevet Yisachar, except it's all gone, and now everything we have is from the Greeks. But those were those books that they were using. And of course, the astronomy that the that the Arabs were involved in, I think a lot of it was also Persia, not necessarily the Arab, not necessarily like ethnic Arabs, but Arab speakers or Arab script users. Yeah. We're doing a lot of work on the heavens, like naming every single star you could see with your eye. I'm talking like in the thousands.
Yeah. You can do that now in the star registry for like $20. Yeah. Name a star after yourself.
43.
Yeah. Name a star after yourself.
Yeah.
Fred. See that star there? It's Fred. Anyway.
Maybe get a piece of a comet, you know?
That's right.
You see that ember that just disappeared? That one's after me.
All right. Give me another tune. Friday night.
Habibi.
Go ahead.
Habibi. Ya Habibi, Ha El Amelech, Ha El Amelech, Ha Rahman. This is like standard fare. Anything from Asher Mizrahi, who the Tunisians will say is Tunisian, and Yerushalmi will say is Yerushalmi. Right? Because like he spent some time, I believe, at some point. And then Moroccans will say he's Moroccan. But either way, Asher Mizrahi, and there was someone who wrote with him named Rahamim Goldman. I don't remember. Yeah, Rahamim Goldman. They wrote a lot of songs to like very popular song, to very popular tunes of their day. And that's like very, very standard Sephardi material.
Wow.
Yeah. Bititzei mi bet kele. Yeah, that one is very famous. A lot of people sing it. I personally am not as into the Asher Mizrahi material. Okay. I like very, very old stuff. I don't know why. It's just...
What's an example? So give us an old tune. Go for it.
Yeah, but you have to understand, again, this is not like people, a lot of people are not seeing this. I had to dig around to find these things. So anything from Yisrael Najara is good.
Okay, I know Najara is a street in Givat Shaul. That's all I know.
So. Yeah, but he has a lot of like very deep songs that pull together things or do wordplay, which I like. In Yehiyu Chemotz, okay, which is, you know, fast song, okay? Yehiyu Chemotz, Ovede Kemoshul, Ovede Belia, Vohevel, Asher Kol Ish, Peselo, Yamos, Volvalie Pol, Yekshor Hevel, Uvtocheko, Oto Yechmos. Charlotte Kehal Wehevel Uvet Sara Yaateme Ozen Ke Ilu Eno Tochheve.
So you understand at this point I'm eating my own arm.
Okay.
Understand?
Yeah. No, I got you. But I do want to point out.
Admit, I felt the same way about Chazonis when I was growing up.
Yeah, for you sure. Know, like, I get
that's
it.
That's a particular type of thing.
It's a particular type of thing. But one thing that you have to realize, I don't know if you did, I used the word hevel, het bet lamed, 5 times in 5 different ways.
Right.
Boom. Like if that kind of a thing doesn't.
No, but I'm just focusing on the tune now.
No, but that's ancillary to the whole thing. Also, you have to feel the fact that a lot of these tunes are set to music.
By Ashkenazim, especially by Hasidim, sometimes they just focus on a niggun.
Yeah.
And they'll just sing. But by Sfardim, you're focusing on the words, and it's almost as if the tune is incidental. It's like learning Musar.
Just like, I understand what you're saying, but it's also a mood. And but yes, typically you're right. I mean, I say I don't know many like just nigunim. Of Sfarad, like a nigun, like with the Ashkenazim, you can go There's no, I don't know. There's words in that song.
Yeah.
But I don't even know them. But I know the tune. But yeah. I don't, there's not many.
Na, 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 na. It's a Yom the rhyme. Na,
yeah.
Na, na, na,
well, it's beautiful, na, but it's like a mood, right? But with among the Sfaradi songs, it's mainly like a a mood of words.
But like Hasim Wahab is like, I na 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 na. Yeah, na 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 na. There's no words to that. That's just a nigga.
Cool. Yeah, so exactly. So I don't know. I definitely can't think of one. I'm sure there are like ones that are, but it's more like you could imagine somebody like playing an oud or a violin or something and taking his time with it.
They're not like focusing on the music. They're focusing on the piyut and the words and the meaning. And like no Ashkenazi will take about one of the Zmiris. Did you see I just used the word chevel five different ways?
Yeah, huh? Right.
Like, how about that? Huh?
Wait, hold on. I got...
wait. The party's just starting.
Oh, yeah.
Bring out the hanmin.
Such wordplay on the arak. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. What's that stuff they chew that the hallucinogenic?
Yeah, that's a Yemenite thing.
That's a Yemenite thing?
Yeah. I've never gotten anywhere with it. I've chewed a lot of ghat and all I felt was like, boy, that was a lot of leaves, you know? But it has to, like, you have to take the baby leaves. I do remember one day where I had to work outside. All right. It was a hot summer day. I was building a wetland. By the way, it's something I know how to do.
Yes.
Okay.
In case anyone needs a wetland.
A wetland.
Ezra specializes in water purification science.
Natural water purification.
Natural purification of water stuff.
Yeah.
Habitat, if you will.
I am building a wetland. It's hot and it's hard work because there's stone involved and so on. And the guy I was building for, he's a guy in the Golan. His name is Sagi Tzabiri. He's Yemenite. So, of course, he's got ghat plants. So I was just munching the young leaves.
What is it? What is it in English?
Oh, boy. I do know.
It's a drug?
Actually, you ever heard of bath salts?
Because I heard they brought
You ever
them
heard
in.
Of bath salts?
Yeah.
The ones that turn people into zombies and they eat the faces and crazy stuff? That's a synthetic version of whatever's in ghat.
I thought bath salts is when you put in when taking a bath.
Okay, so we're not on the same thing. All right. It's a drug.
Is it like the ones that come in little spray can that you can make like faces on the side of the
Epsom? By the way, I'm Epsom a salt. Big fan of Epsom salts.
That's right. They're very good. They're
very good. Magnesium Clean chloride. Out, yeah. You can eat that, but little amounts, but you should eat a little bit of Epsom salts. Very good for you.
I'm on my way.
Yeah.
As soon as I finish chewing my gut.
Not too much, but okay. But anyway, so that day, I recall I had no
appetite. What's
God
called in English?
I was
What's
just
your plan?
Working. I don't recall. Something with an R. I don't recall. But you can find it. I mean, it's so odd that the synthetic version of whatever's in that is like a crazy material that turns people into monsters, like makes them superhumanly strong, don't feel any pain, literally can take a magazine full of bullets and just keep going. There's stories like this in Florida or something.
Yikes.
But you know, Yemenites.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Houthis shooting missiles at us now at the boats. Anyway.
Yeah, so you should funnily enough, gut. You could still grow ghat. Like you can just grow it, but I remember that like I felt great, had no appetite, and was just able to work the whole day without stopping. You know, I didn't need to eat
uppers.
Yeah, it's an upper right. For sure, but you have to eat the baby leaves.
I'm on my way.
Okay,
I have something like that. It's called coffee. And
coffee
suppresses your appetite, you know, gives you energy, keeps you up.
Yeah, but like when a Sfaradi drinks coffee, he makes like a scene. He like stops what he's doing, like boils the water,
finjan,
every like it's a whole scene. It's not like, you know, people sit around, you know, you talk or whatever. You know, it's not like something you drink and so that you can have energy to keep going. It's
Israelis
not like
do that with everything. Yeah. Americans, when they have like a coffee break, so like they'll grab a Danish and a cup of coffee. And Israelis, it's a ruchadesa, so they start chopping up vegetables and they start mixing things, and it's like a hot saga. Everyone's having it's a scene. Israelis like that. When I came here originally, they used to close down the country every day from 2 to 4. Every store closed.
Be'er Sheva still like that.
Everybody
Deveria
goes
still
to
like
sleep,
that.
Come back, have a schnitzel, take a nap, come back. Mm-hmm. You know,
there are definitely cities that are still like that. Like the whole place closes down on like Tuesday. That's it. No, right.
Tuesday afternoon.
Nothing doing. Got to do laundry. I don't know. Something. It was like.
That's the source in certain yeshivas where they have what's called No Torah Tuesday. They give you off Tuesday afternoon. It's because in Israel, everything used to close down. You know? My friend, Rabbi Binyamin Hammer, he once wrote a song about a particular yeshiva we were working in, you know? I just remember one line from it. It goes, I walked in the Beis Medrash and there was no one in the room. It seems like every day is just a Tuesday afternoon.
That's good.
Anyway, I just remember that. So, yeah, okay. So let's get some more songs here. Pizmonim.
Another some Pizmonim. Okay, so.
You only did one Eben Ezra.
Yeah, that's true. So, no, I got Delcha is also the second one. And then at some point or another, someone's going to do Kiyah Shmirah Shabbat. Right? That's also Ibn Ezra.
Now, even Ashkenazim,
we'll do
you do the same tune that Ashkenazim do.
Yeah.
Kiyah Shmirah Shabbat, which is surprising that Sephardim do that because it's really a Christmas carol.
Yeah, Well, I've heard the Syrians do it also, so it's legit.
Yeah.
What can I say?
They had a lot of Christians.
Yeah. So. Even though in the tune they'll use is Ki Eshmera Shabbat. And then it's like sort of, you feel like you're walking backwards with the song, right? But like, that's how it is.
The famous Dra Yikra. Yeah, Yikra.
Dunash.
Who's that? What is that from?
Well, he was Iraqi.
No, I'm saying who's the tune from?
I think it's either Iraqi, maybe it's Yemenite.
It's the most tuneful one.
Yeah,
that's of any of them that you've done so far.
Yeah, that's a really good one. But not only that, but he was a real serious grammarian.
Yeah,
Ibn Ezra talks about him, and you know Ibn Ezra gives like a who's who in the world of dikduk, starting
did
with.
Did you do Halali yet? You did that one, right? Okay,
Habibi.
Halali.
Oh.
Halali. Which one is that?
That's Shabbihi Yerushalayim et Adonai. Halleli Elohaich Tzion. Yeah.
You're not at the high part.
Ki Hezak.
There you go. Now you're taking off.
Kehizak berichesh araich berach banaich bekirbech berach banaich bekirbech berach banaich bekirbech. Aywa, take it away.
Now that's a fun song.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
Is that like the only fun Sephardi song that exists?
Once you get into it, it all feels kind of fun, you know. But you know,
you sang songs that were like monotone that just repeats the same thing that goes on for like 10 minutes.
Yes,
that's not fun.
I'm connecting with the words at that moment.
That's what I mean. I'm talking about from the tone point of view.
It is fun for me because I'm doing. It's like playing a computer game. It's not. Well, no, sometimes it was fun to watch. But like, you know what I mean? That like if you're playing some game that's relatively simple, but like if you're in it, it's more, you feel it. But yeah.
I remember when I was in it, that's why they had this song. It went like this. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. I know a song
that's a good
that gets
one too.
On everybody's nerves. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. I know a song that gets on everybody. I know a song. So when you just have
that's
like
many Montera,
when you have like just something where it goes, I know a song that gets on everybody's
Tahavim lemelech mone mispar
kochavim
belele shabbatot uvyamim tovim
How long can you do that when you find a meaningful time? A very long time.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes on and on.
I mean, there's a lot of words in that song. By the way, Ezra, that was the fellow who wrote it. But like, sure, 100%. I don't.
So you see, there was that in Hallelujah. Where Hallelujah, you're like, you're already, you know, dancing. You know,
yeah.
There's something going on.
That has Moroccan influence. Anything with Moroccan influence is going to sound more fun. Because it was like a back and forth.
The Iraqis had no fun.
Iraqim and Halabim are not like that.
They're not fun.
They're more like with the virtuoso stuff, maybe.
It's
you don't have a back and forth kind of situation.
I remember I made the mistake when Shabbos, I came on time to a Sephardi Shabbos davening, and it was 15 minutes for Karbonos.
Yeah, I love it.
They just keep going.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, okay, so you know, you grew up Ashkenazi.
I left the minyan because they wanted to
korbanot. And it just goes on.
Spot
and I'm sitting there going, this can't be happening.
Right, right.
This can't, you can't make people sit through this. It's definitely a time warp,
but that's sort of
and
what attracts
don't talk.
Me.
At least if everyone's talking while this is going on, and they have a good time or something, you know, but make a kiddush club or something, they all sit there and chant at the same time together.
And then they have so much stuff to you. Like the beginning is all the korbanot. It's a long time.
Right.
And you got to say all these things. And so, but that's why it's like a time warp. When you go into a Sfaradi Beit Knesset,
you're a Kohen, obviously, because we're Olavskis.
Yeah, so.
When we worked in the Beis Hamikdash, korbanot didn't take that long. It took less time than it takes a Sfaradi to say.
What does it say? It says, Kishimachziran machteshet berev yom kippurim.
I know what it says. Yeah.
And then it says, Kishu shohai komer. A decative, right? Like you gotta like chant while you're doing things. It's like, you know, you grind coffee by hand. It takes a while. So you like saying this
reason.
Coffee,
they're running around. They're doing this fast.
But some things only come, there's like a concept of salting, right? Like in chemistry also. Like when you want to do purifications using salt, for instance, which you could do, or precipitation of DNA. Sometimes you need to have things sitting in the centrifuge for 90 minutes.
But you don't have to be chanting during that. You just put it in and then you come back 90 minutes later.
I chant.
You don't actually sit there and go,
true story.
DNA.
No,
DNA. We do it every day, DNA.
No,
DNA.
It's more like, Ana Elech Meruhecha, Ana Mipanecha Evrah, Evrah Meme. Cha elecha umseliyadecha agil efra yahekevodecha. I can keep going.
You know, this is why I'm convinced that eventually all of Klaus was going to be Sephardi.
Wow.
Because they're just going to outlast us. You know, we Ashkenazim don't have the patience. We're all going to just die. Keep chanting forever. They'll never go away. Like, you ever seen these, like, really, really old Sephardim?
Yeah.
Like 120, 130.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're just, like, still chanting away. And
that was really, like, it was a huge attraction for me. Everybody is attracted by different things, but, like, I would go, so you got to get up at like the crack of dawn. If you want to catch like a real Sfaradi Minyan, you got to get up early. These guys won't be caught in the Beit Knesset after like 6:30 in the morning. Like you can't find them. It doesn't work. So you have to get up while the sun's still down and go searching, go hunting.
So interesting, the White Shul in Far Rockaway, they have an annex that they made where the Sfaradim have a Nate's Minyan.
Nice.
And then the Ashkenazim have it the rest of the day.
Right.
Because they all go off and...
No, it's not a thing
to... Going to the electronics business or whatever they're doing.
Diamonds on 47th Street or something. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we have time for one more Zammer. So pick your catchiest one that we haven't done yet.
Or the one that you like the best. No, let's circle back to the Moroccans and we'll do Yodul Chara Yonai.
Okay.
This one I learned in Kiryat Arba.
Yes.
From one of the grandchildren of Rabbi David Bouzaglo, who was like, if you know who's who in the world of Moroccan music, like, he was big stuff. He wrote the song Aoufesh Kwan. He wrote many. Okay, but this is from the Baba Sali, actually. Yeah. Yodu lecha ra'yonai el bi beten yotzeri ale kirvatecha besinai leha ireteneri ale ken betachanunai afa erbe shiri bechol yamai veshanai adle adle ola ame esmahbach el olam esmahbach goel nafshi et geulat olam sason li bema.
It only has one part though.
That just goes on for a long time.
I have found this so intriguing that at some point when we recover from this, I'm gonna get me a Persian, an Iraqi.
Nah, there's a lacuna.
I'm gonna
here
get me a Moroccan. I'm gonna get me a Syrian, and you never mentioned Turkish, Turkish music.
You know, my Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva where I learned Dikduk on like a formal level, Rabbi Avraham Gaon, he's Turkish.
Mm-hmm. I was in Seattle, and it's one of those things where
I feel like I would be, I'm not there yet. This is like seriously ethnic people. I just met a Turkish guy. His name, he had this name. Wow. It was like, Pat, do you remember it? And we had his name of like literally like an angel name, like Malkiel something. I was like, whoa. And I said, are you Turkish? He's like, yeah. I was like, tell me you're from Izmir. He's like, yep. Like there's certain like, and like I could see, like he looked at me and he saw that like I understood like what was going on in his family. Like this was like a straight like boom, like a seraph, you know? It was insane.
Wow. So we'll have to get a Turk.
Yeah, you gotta get Turkish.
I only know one Turkish tune that I picked up years ago. Okay. I'm kidding. Late Sunnis. Anyway. All right.
Okay.
Well, Ezra, this has been educational for my mostly Ashkenazic audience. And my Sephardic audience, I'm sure they'll be so happy that we have reached out to touch them.
I'm like, yo, who's that wannabe?
So
the thing is, like, it doesn't matter to me because I'm doing what I connect with.
I understand. I'm saying it's fine. You know? Like I say, you know, I when I was planning this out, I asked for people. You know, any Sephardic singers? I said, "Because yeah, but they all speak Hebrew. I don't know any who's speaking any English." So, I asked Ari Goldberg. I said, "Who do you suggest?" He goes, "Meir Abitan." I said, "Shkayach, he's in America. What does that do for me?" You know what I mean? So, but that's what we're gonna have to do. We have to get all the different ones and get their perspective.
You should speak to Yair Dalal. I'll hook you up with him.
Yeah. Who is he?
He plays the oud. He's big. He's been like, you know, played big concerts all over the world.
Should have gotten Piamenta when he was
Piamenta. I love Shalom.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made a big mark on, you know, he helped a lot of kids connect with Yiddishkeit.
Sephardic character.
Yeah. But he was so cool because he really didn't care if Sfaradi, Ashkenazi, Hasidi. Like, it didn't matter. For him, it was about being Eved Hashem and
men at work.
Yeah.
I come from a land down under. And he made it, was it? Right. That was that originally.
His son lives in Ramot. Maybe I'll have time to see him tonight.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Givaldik. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a privilege for us. And whenever we have an Orlovsky on the show, it's always a thrill, you know. And I mean, basically, we've had Yaakov, Moshe Yehuda, and Shlomo.
Nice.
So, you know, And,
yeah. I'm not as funny as they are.
You know, yeah, but they can't sing any Svarti Nigunim. To the best
they
of
could
knowledge.
They could make fun of it pretty well. So,
yeah, listen, you know, the untapped resources. You know, one of my brothers said to me that when someone says to me, "Is your name Orlovsky?" and he goes, "I always wonder who they're going to pick out,
right?
Because there's so many of us in so many different places,
right?
That we, you know, so I'm obviously the most famous and most accomplished, but." But also the most loyal
and, the most humble.
And the humblest, I have to say. My humility is the one trait that I've developed to the greatest of all of my. But, you know, I have brothers who are shul presidents, and I have brothers who are, you know, heads of different organizations and things and all over the place, and, you know, relatives and nephews and things. And I remember, you know, Nafi teaches in Hank, you know, so. When I went to speak in Hank, they said, "Oh, Rabbi Orlovsky's uncle is here."
Right.
That's like so there you go. Yeah. So anyway, so life goes on. All right. Well, that's it for this week, my friends. If you want to find out more about the show, you can go to my website, RabbiOrlovsky.com, and you can sponsor an episode. You can send an email. You can sign up for one of our online shiurim. And until next time, I'm David Orlovsky.
Ezra Orlovsky.
And this has been the Rabbi Orlovsky Show.
It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. Torah and Simcha, ready to go. The Rabbi Orlovsky Show. Knowledge and wisdom will help you grow. Lots of fun in every episode. And we don't have to rhyme. No, we don't. It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. On RabbiOrlovsky.com. Torah, anytime, YouTube, and more. It's Rabbi Orlovsky Show. Torah and Simcha, ready to go. It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. Till next time, till we meet again. It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show. It's the Rabbi Orlovsky Show.